It's the Mincing Rascals here. It's April 26th at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm Justin Kaufman in for John Williams and the host of The Download here on WGN Radio from 7 to 11. I'm here to keep the trains running on time. The panel that are here, you guys know. You guys want to introduce yourself? Scott, you want to start?
I'm Scott Stannis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and creator of the comic strip Prickly City and co-host of the Prickly City podcast right here on WGN Plus.
I'm Eric Zorn, the dynamic columnist for the Tribune.
I'm Krista McQuarrie of the editorial board and the See You Next Tuesday columnist at the Tribune.
I'm Steve Bertrand, who is the, my favorite column is the See You Next Tuesday column. Yeah. That's what I'm also the host of the Business Lunch on WGN.
Where is this podcast going all of a sudden?
I love it. All right.
Just to be clear, Kristen's column runs on Tuesdays in the Chicago Tribune, and that's what she means.
Yes.
And when does yours, Eric?
I already said when mine runs. People are going to have to rewind the tape if they want to know when my column runs.
It's all a secret.
All right, let's get into it. Why don't we start right away? The VA nomination, Ronnie Jackson, to be the head of the VA, has been withdrawn by the White House. A lot of allegations coming out during the confirmation hearings about his behavior on trips, whether or not he wrecked a government vehicle. The president says these are all untrue allegations, but yet still he has been withdrawn. What do you make of this?
Well, my takeaway, I want to walk it back further. The fact is, Ronnie Jackson was a physician for Donald Trump and other presidents. He's the one who said that Donald Trump was 1 pound below obese. And the reward, apparently, is to be appointed to a cabinet-level position for which you are absolutely and unequivocally unqualified.
That's the sad thing. So we've seen these charges come up against him and be publicly aired, and they really never needed to be. He should have. I mean, he was not going to win. He was not going to win approval based on his qualifications. He just wasn't qualified for it. But the president said today, I don't know how much we're going to talk about this Fox TV interview, but he said today that no one's qualified for it.
Right?
It's such it's such a big bureaucracy.
Well, look at me. I wasn't qualified to be president, and here I am.
But seriously, I mean, Jackson, he should not have been put in this position. He never should have been put in this position.
I would say that we should have had more vetting of him, obviously. But I think in the past we've raised doubts about people like Rex Tillerson. Oh, he wasn't qualified to be Secretary of State. Actually, he didn't do too much damage. He didn't actually end up being this big.
He did run Exxon.
Well, that's correct. I don't want to defend the nomination of the president's personal doctor. There have to be people within the VA more qualified to run the VA than the president's physician. I just think it was you said you want to keep the trains on time. This was a train wreck from the moment he announced it. And
the real takeaway is he says that the whole process, that the confirmation hearings, that the Senate Democrats are all standing in the way. It's unfair. It's obstructionist. I think that someone actually did a fact check and said it would take, 900 years or whatever he said it was.
He controls the Senate. The Democrats haven't managed to obstruct anybody yet, have they? I mean, there's been, they can't because they don't have the votes to obstruct anybody. They can delay the process.
The Republicans were very much in question on this one, too.
On this one, I mean, one of the things this is, you know, the thing is, like, I don't really care about all these allegations about him because, you know, about Jackson, because it was clear that he was unqualified from the beginning.
Right.
And so now you've got all this other stuff that's come out about him. And the question becomes, okay, no, the next person who gets nominated, is that person going to go, well, you know, there's some things in my past. I have a DUI. I don't want him aired. I don't want to go through this process. I mean, there is a...
But it has been consistent. I mean, you think about some of the confirmations. I think about... I forgot who it was who had the nanny issues at one point.
Oh, it was Kimball Wood.
Kimball Wood's now a judge.
She's presiding over the Michael Cohen case.
Right. But I mean, there has always been that part of the confirmation hearings, regardless of what cabinet position it is, where people are digging through your past. You have to know that's going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, if any of these allegations are true, the fact that he was effectively a Pez dispenser for opioids to friends and family, that he was drunk at work.
Unproven. I mean, really, he hasn't even had a chance to defend himself, and everyone is going to just take that as fact.
It got this far, because, you know, really, they're saying some of the worst things about him. It's sourcing with 23 people, so, I mean, it's not like someone making it up, but, you know, these are, for the most part, private or personal issues that we should have never heard about.
Sounds like he shouldn't be the White House physician either, or running the medical staff in the White House, given if these things are true that they're talking about, or half of them are true.
Everybody takes Ambien on overseas flights. Eric,
And Percocet? Doesn't he was passing out Percocet too.
Well, you need a upper after the downer.
You need a downer after the downer.
So, but order these drugs
and vodka. And who hasn't pounded on a hotel room when you're drunk out of a coworker in the middle of the night?
I mean, there we've all been there.
There was a moment of comedy in the Senate this week, though, that I think I'd like to mention. The Mike Pompeo nomination to run CIA was in trouble. Facing difficulty.
You mean state, right?
Yeah, around state.
State, I'm sorry. Thank you.
He's currently in charge of the CIA.
And Chris Coons, who is a Democrat from Delaware, stood against Pompeo, but because Coons' friend Johnny Isaacson, the Republican from Georgia, was out of Washington presiding over a friend's funeral, Coons actually switched. The Democrats switched his vote and voted in favor of Pompeo.
He voted present, I think.
Yeah, correct. Just to move it on. Mm-hmm. So I think we don't give people credit enough for that. And so I think that's a nice thing.
There you go. Well, the Fox and Friends interview this morning, we're taping this at 11 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. So obviously the president went on Fox and Friends. He called in a long interview, which was great. But once again, very wide-ranging. Maybe that's the best way to say it. A lot of different things going all the way back to electoral college votes.
It was a rant.
And a rant.
To Russia for a day or so, a day or two, because I own the Miss Universe pageant. So I went there to watch it because it was near Moscow. So I go to Russia. Now, I didn't go there. Everybody knows the logs are there, the planes are there. He said, I didn't stay there at night. Of course,
even
and
some of the press even said that I think the headline was shell shocked. The Fox and Friends host was shell shocked. Some of the things the president was saying.
He seems to be wanting to turn the Justice Department against his political enemies.
Right. He said he needs a larger role in the Justice Department.
Well, does that mean he gets a badge?
But then he didn't. I mean, he said he was going to stay out of it.
Right.
I'm going to stay out of this. All of this is a Mueller probe. I'm going to stay out of
but
it.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Unless I have to get involved. But I think one of the more telling things was he admitted that Michael Cohen represented him in the Stormy Daniels.
The crazy Stormy Daniels thing.
Because
I think that's
before,
what he said,
they've always completely denied anything to do with any of that. And today he copped to the fact that Michael Cohen represented him there.
It's got to be so hard for his advisors and his legal team, because just that little nugget right there that he threw out in a rant in a Fox and Friends show, a show that's very supportive of the president, has already started the machine. Lawyers are in court today trying to pin that to the case against Michael Cohen. It seems like everything that he says, especially when he goes in, I don't want to say unsupervised, but this idea of these rant-type interviews gets him in trouble.
Can you imagine being Sarah Huckabee Sanders? And what she must have to go through every day when she wakes up and she turns on her TV and the president has called in.
He's called into a
like
talk show.
You know, like WGN. Hey,
right.
What's up?
Well,
then she's going to have to cover for him at the today's press briefing.
The spin is always he says something incredibly stupid. And then his apparatus has to go forward and says, what he meant was, and it's always like usually 180 or maybe 97 degrees.
The president's been very clear on this from the beginning.
Yeah. He's a great, I will say this about Trump, he's a great talk show pundit. When he goes on and he's able to say things and declare things and to make great media, usually those pundits don't have to back up their claims. They don't have to have somebody who has to clear it back and say what he meant to say. That's the only problem. If he was just the guy that called into the show, everyone would be
Christian
fine.
I have a way to transition us.
To Kanye?
You guys are just the mob.
Yeah.
You're mob.
Hey, right. One thing, though. I do not feel sorry for Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. She ain't messing with no broke. Because when she defends that coming up in 3 or 4 hours, she's going to end up scolding the reporters who asked it.
Yeah, right.
That's why that's why I have less sympathy for her, is that she turns it on the people who asked it.
I like her.
I think
she does. I think she's in a very tough position, and I think she answers the questions as best she can. But sometimes they are going off track. They are asking leading questions. They're trying to. They're revealing their bias sometimes in the way that they ask questions, and she calls them out on it. I don't mind it at all. What did Kanye say about the president?
More like Conway.
More Conway.
What did Conway Twitty have to say about this? Did he say anything?
Kelly Conway.
I don't imagine Conway Twitty's all that.
Kanye West. All right, let's talk about Kanye West. This is a fascinating story to me. I spent the whole commute this morning with my wife talking about Kanye West and Donald Trump. He goes to Twitter yesterday and says that he loves Donald Trump. He loves all people, but they share dragon energy, and he then
dragon breath.
Yeah. Right. Then he put a hat on, a Make American Great Again hat, and took a picture of it. Both retweeted by the president. The president actually said, very cool, Kanye, was the tweet that he responded to. But Kanye West has riled up a fan base. He's riled up a more liberal fan base, people that like him. He's already reported that people are dropping him from Twitter, other places. I mean, what do you make? Leonard Pitts had a great column today in the Tribune, but what do you make of Kanye West getting into this political controversy?
Yeah, Leonard Pitts' column in the Tribune was about Shania Twain and what she said in favor of Trump.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Well, if you remember, Kanye was the Conway. You got me saying it
I'm
now.
Sorry.
Kanye, he was the guy who said George Bush hates black people. Remember that was right. In the post New Orleans stuff. I don't know why we look to him for political insight, on the other hand, I guess I'm not going to buy his new album.
I yield my time to Scott Stantis.
I'm sorry. But Kanye West, I think, is a remarkable talent. He's one of the great artists of the 21st century.
Agreed.
Truly, one of the great American artists of the 21st century.
There it is.
Uh-huh.
You want me to start twerking?
I want Eric to. But my point is that when you say, why do you even care what he says? Because he's one of the great artists of the 21st century. He has standing in a community. He has a mind that is extraordinary and thinks outside the box of most of us. And that's someone worth listening to.
Doesn't he also have a mind that has been unstable at times?
Yeah, well, I mean, an artist who's unstable.
Well, correct. So, yeah. But he has had issues in the past too.
Well,
right?
the only thing too is what people don't recognize is that he plays in divisiveness.
Yeah,
like Kanye West is a brilliant marketer. He married the Kardashians. He knows what he's doing. He just got back on Twitter a week ago because he announced in June he has a new album. He's working on new music. Here comes they had a meeting where they're like, "You go and say controversial stuff on Twitter. My wife's going to get naked on Instagram. We got it all figured out.
We're going to break the internet."
Yesterday, Kim Kardashian was, she was for her perfume. The pictures were crazy. I mean, they were essentially, she posted all over Instagram and the internet naked pictures of herself.
Wow,
at the same time that her husband is on Twitter talking about Donald Trump. There is a tremendous coordinated marketing campaign for a great artist and even a greater marketer. And that's I think, what people miss.
Is this smart marketing, though?
It's risky. I don't think it's risky at all.
I think risky is a paradigm today.
Yeah, and you
don't think people are knocking about? I mean, remember the Dixie Chicks?
Okay, but look who their market was. That was conservative white consumers. You really think he's going to? I mean,
who's Kanye's market? Young,
I think white suburban
progressive
kids is what
Hollywood.
It is. It's white
black
suburban kids
rappers. I mean, I think it is a risk that he was willing to take, obviously, but he's not going to find a lot of support among his base for Donald Trump.
Now, he also went on and he tweeted in defense of his support of Donald Trump about Obama. He said Obama did nothing in his 8 years for the city of Chicago, talking about the violence issue here, and it actually got worse. And there's something to be said about that. That has been a criticism of the former president who was from Chicago. But it's also, you have to remember, and I think that CNN actually called this out in an article today, it was Barack Obama who went in front of the press and said, after Kanye got in front of Taylor Swift at the awards, who said, "Kanye's a jackass." If you remember, he said that in a press conference. And so Kanye West and President Obama are not they are not friends. They are not this is not something that Kanye just knee-jerked. So I do think there is something to be said about the fact that Kanye West does like Trump. And the fact that he doesn't like Obama. And I don't know if that's political or if that's just his ego got a little bit zinged as the president from Chicago, the first black president, is calling Kanye West a jackass. But I do wonder if it plays out at all, because I saw a ton of replies and things off of that tweet, that this brings back into the forefront the fact that Obama did not
What did you want? What did what was he supposed to do? What was Obama supposed to do about crime in Chicago? By doing what? I mean, I don't blame the president for not being able to address a specific city issue anywhere in the country. We have aldermen who we have 50 aldermen paid what $119,000 a year is now their base salary. They are in charge of like 4 square miles. They are responsible for what happens in their wards. They are responsible for lack of economic development. They are responsible for failing schools. They are responsible for not doing enough when it comes to policing or after-school programs or whatever. The president is dealing with Syria, an Iran nuclear deal. I don't hold him responsible for what is happening in Chicago, and I don't get when people say, like, well, he didn't do anything. What did you want him to do? Really? Honestly.
Well, President Trump would have run into the building.
Take on those shooters. Well, and then Chance got involved also in this, and he was tweeting support for Kanye.
Yeah, of course. Well, no, Kanye West and Chance the Rapper. Kanye West is essentially the mentor,
godfather.
For Chance the Rapper, and I thought Chance's point was well taken. Kanye didn't do anything wrong by showing support for a political candidate. And Chance the Rapper said, it's okay to be black and Republican. That was his response, right? And I do think that there's a lot of things that you could do as an artist, as somebody in the press.
There are a lot of ways you could respond to what Kanye said without saying, well, it's okay to support a Republican. Of course it's okay to support a Republican, but that's not the point here. That's not what he's talking about. He wasn't criticizing, he wasn't praising him for being a Republican. He was talking about his dragon energy.
I think this is the oldest I've ever felt in my life because I could not care less what Kanye West does.
Yeah, I am, love Kanye West, and I am supporter. I support every album he has. His last album was probably the best album I've ever heard. He actually lost to Kanye West for the Grammy, which I did not like.
Wait a minute.
Or to Chance. Sorry to Chance. But I have to question, and I love Kanye. I probably still will buy and listen to all of his music in June. But yeah, I do find myself thinking about it because of that old argument of separating the art from the man. But
Justin,
I've already
is
done
way
that.
Cooler than us. That's the issue, Steve.
Yeah, I mean,
this is as People Magazine as we have ever gotten on Mincing Rascals.
I mean, we've gone straight from Better Homes and Gardens.
This is the first time we talked about Kim Kardashian's perfume line.
Yeah. And her nakedness.
But I don't think it'll be the last.
That was not thinking
about this. I'm busy looking at her Instagram. Sorry.
Yeah, right. Let me ask this question about coming out of the Kanye West, and then we'll move on. But a lot of tweets from the president about Kanye West and his support, but a lot of pushback for no tweets about the hero who stopped the shooting in Nashville at the Waffle House, that was a tragedy in America, and one that when the president is talking about the victims in Toronto and talking other places, but he did not make any mention on Twitter about what happened in that Waffle House and an American standing up to a shooter. And there's a lot of question about race being involved, a black man who was the hero, or why the president didn't go to Twitter, which he usually does for these kind of situations. Is that a valid argument?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely valid. I mean, because he'll mention all the others. Like, as you said, he mentioned the van driving into the crowd in Toronto. I think I do have to believe that part of it is motivated by who is the guy who did it, and does he have a MAGA cap? You know, I mean, I think that I am that cynical. I think what's weird is we're in a world where I can say that, and I don't sound that crazy.
It is weird because Trump does sort of set a standard. He reacts so often to so many things on Twitter. Normally, you would say, well, a president is not obligated to respond to every news event, but he responds to so many little news events. He's tweeting twice about Kanye that he when he doesn't respond to something. I mean, and that was an amazing story, at the Waffle House story. And to have the president be silent about it, it makes it look like, well, as a black guy, he didn't have a gun. If it had been a white guy with a gun who took the guy down, then it probably would have
Which
been.
Happened in Texas when I think it was the church shooting where the guy had a gun and he shot back and the president
chased
tweeted.
Him.
Yeah, he tweeted out. That's, you know, like.
I think it just speaks to an undisciplined communications office. You know,
when you've
got a guy flying
it's
off the handle.
Consistency,
right.
Right,
you don't have an office taking care of these things. And that's this is where it costs him.
Because he gets great, like, it'll be like Holocaust Remembrance Day. I think the first one he didn't tweet out about it. And people are like, hey, he didn't. Or when it comes to Passover, some other holidays, if he doesn't tweet about them, people take notice of that. And I think that is because they don't have, as Steve points out, they don't have a disciplined office saying, okay, it's Arbor Day. We got to tweet about trees, President.
I think they are disciplined. He is completely undisciplined. Yeah. I mean, we know that, right?
Yeah. All right,
this is the romance with Sarah again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure Sarah, I'm thinking that he didn't tweet about the Waffle House because she finally got in his head for one day and was like, just shut up.
I can't
just
wait
stay off
to read
media.
Her book when she
yeah,
writes
right,
a book.
Right. Let's go local. Let's go Springfield. Big issue about the gun licensing override. The governor had vetoed a gun licensing measure, one that would make it more regulation for gun shop owners in the state of Illinois. There were votes possible for a Democrat override. Senator Don Harmon out of Oak Park said he had the votes, but he wasn't going to call it in the Senate because he wasn't sure what was going to happen in the House. So never mind. Is this a new way we're doing politics, election season, the fact that we're not even going to call these votes?
Well, I would defer to Kristen on this, but my understanding is that when you say you don't know if you have the votes in the House, you don't have the votes in the House. And he didn't want to put his member, or his colleagues, and not his members, his colleagues on the hook for a vote that would end up just being a futile vote that could be used against them in the fall. And I think this has been true a long time in Springfield, particularly in election years, but I'll defer to Kristen on...
Yeah, no, they never do. I mean, they hardly do anything in non-election years, which is, by the way, every other year. But they do even less in election years. And I don't like the idea, like you're saying, that, oh, I don't have the votes in the House, so I'm not going to call it in the Senate. Put these votes on the floor. It
absolutely
drives me nuts when they do this whole game back and forth where they won't call a bill because they're predicting, well, you know what? Call it, put it on the board, and then make the members choose. You actually might have the votes.
Out of respect for us as the Illinois voters, put it on the board. Do
put
your
it
job.
On the board, exactly. Yeah, so
yeah, I hate that.
This is a controversial bill, though, that even Eric, I recall during a Mincing Rascals episode, said it was a bill that went too far. It was too much regulation. And so, you know, maybe this is the sign that they need to peel back some of what they did in the bill. Just go after the bad actors, license certain gun shops. But this one went too far. There's like 2,500 shops in Illinois that sell guns, and this would have required them to do a lot.
And it exempted the big businesses.
I'm sorry to laugh, because the legislators in their wisdom and courage will probably vote to extend penalties for people who text while they drive.
Right.
You know, so they can do things like that, sorts of things. But as far as having a debate on something like this, they're not going to do it.
The big cynical argument at the time was that this was done to essentially trap Governor Rauner and during an election season to put him in a bit. Is he going to do the
in
same thing
he did
with
season,
the, right, in the
yeah.
primary season? This was done to say, are you going to, is it going to hurt you as if you let this gun measure go through? Is that going to help Jeannie Ives? And the Democrats kind of, you know, Mike Madigan and company just kind of like couching. It didn't happen. He vetoed the bill. The Democrats don't have the votes to override the veto. Did they lose? I mean, was this a backfire for Democrats to political miscalculation?
I think probably this will be used against him strongly. So actually, it might, in terms of the gubernatorial race, this is the calculus that he killed it,
right,
and that we're not going to license gun. I mean, this is a bill that has been around for like 4 or 5 years, and there is a huge contingent, especially of suburban moms in particular, who are sitting in the gallery when this is happening. They feel very strongly about the legislation. So I don't know it's totally political that it came up now, but now they can pin it on Rauner, and that will hurt him with that suburban mom base that he's...
And they can target those ads to those suburban people who are the suburban women or whatever, you know, the demographics that are going to be motivated by that without having to pin the vote on some downstate legislators.
I guess it was a veto override.
Are there any companies you know of that can work with that data and target those ads just right?
I think I know some.
Let's talk to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes.
Let's do
whose profits have soared.
Yeah.
Their sales under all of this, they were up like 50% year over year.
Is that just, is that the old Kanye West, all press is good press? I mean, is that essentially it? Yeah. All right. One more story before we get to recommendations. Let's talk about Metro. Metro this week. Tough week for Metro. The story was really Metro wants riders to snitch. To essentially, if you know, they do a very archaic, antiquated way of collecting fares, where the conductor comes through, tickets, here are your tickets, and they miss people, and that happens. I've done the fake sleep, you know, like we've all tried in different ways. But now they're asking other riders to essentially point fingers if they skip somebody. This is a way that they see that they can tighten up the mistakes. But I also, this week, there was a piece in ABC 7. They did an investigation about how Metro all winter long has had standing room only crowds because there have been short cars because they have either repairs or because of the weather, and they just don't have the resources to fix the cars fast enough and get them on the... So if you're going to Aurora, for instance, you can go all the way standing room.
Wow.
Yeah, and this was and it was something that at first was like a couple of days, then turned into months. And the Metra just this happening right when they did the fare hike. So the, so not a great week for Metra. But in terms of the snitching policy, where are we at with this?
Well, I mean, start in the quiet car, because the people in the quiet car are always looking to turn someone else in, right?
Really?
I mean, absolutely. If you're in the quiet car and you and your sneaker squeaks, people will scold you. So that's where you start.
It's so funny you talk about the sleeping passenger, like that you fall asleep. Yeah. I am the nerd with my ticket like this, like here, punch me, punch my ticket.
I'm a sleeper.
I'm a rule follower.
So how do you report? I didn't read into these stories.
Is it like you just point?
You just point.
Yeah. I think you're like,
you missed one, sir.
No, what they need a smartphone app.
Yeah, right.
Where you,
right.
You like discreetly, you screen like, you know.
I mean, Metra snitch. I'm not much of a guy who understands the tech world, but it does seem like maybe, just maybe, trains Metra could figure out a better way to do tickets.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
You know what this reminds me of in Cuba? They still have this under the. Have had this for now for 60 years under the 70 years under the Castro regime. Is each neighborhood they have a designated snitch for someone who is an enemy of the revolution,
what?
And it's their job to say they didn't go to that parade, they didn't post this picture. They
it's
didn't
called
do
the
that.
Committeeman.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's committeeman.
That's exactly
right.
What would happen.
So that's what we're talking about. The Metra,
right?
Yeah. And I refuse to live in a Castro-like regime.
Precinct committeeman.
So,
could you imagine being on the other side of that? Someone's pointing a finger like, you didn't pay your fare.
We're going to take away your garbage cans.
Unpaid!
And then some street justice happens to that snitch in that car.
Because we
better watch out.
Snitches, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I am a light flasher. Do you do that when you're on the highway and you see a cop sitting there and you flash your lights at the incoming traffic to warn them? I'm all over that. Like, I try to protect my...
I think that's illegal.
It is.
What? No,
rule
it's not.
In many states,
yeah,
it is.
I guess
it's not illegal to flash your
just
lights.
Just the idea that the Metro would try to get other riders to join with them, align with them, as opposed to the other passengers.
It becomes like Lord of the Flies after a while.
I don't see it working. I really
don't. The paid
don't.
And the unpaid.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to get on the Metro and just start pointing at people, even though they paid, just to see what kind of chaos I can sow. It's crazy. All right, we finish up tonight. Let's talk about recommendations. Of course, we always say, what are you reading? What are you listening to?
We're skipping that this week. Yeah,
yes,
we're doing
we
what
one.
Our at-bat song
right.
would be.
What would be, of course, there's a lot made of the at-bat songs, the players that, of course, with baseball now will get up and do their little 5-10-second song, little snippet.
After Chris, much thought in the past 7 minutes, I'm going to go with Twisting by the Pool by Dire Straits.
By the pool.
Does it have a good intro? Is it like rocker?
It's a little peppy sort of summer song. Twisting by the Pool.
All right.
I've been listening to a lot of Dire Straits lately, so.
I have two, but I have narrowed it to one. Okay. So I love, you should steal it if you want to, but Everlong, Foo Fighters, excellent intro. But my number one is Pat Benatar, All Fired Up. I got to get my 80s on, my big hair. Oh, yeah. Listen to that intro. It's
lefty
really...
or righty?
What do you mean?
When you go to bat.
Oh, righty.
I'm batting third. Kristen McQueary.
Oh, fire it up. Yeah.
It works. For sure. It totally works. Everybody
I happen to already have a walk-up song. There's the Fox TV show Son of Zorn. Had a character, and at one point during the show, the character pulls out his little lute and he sings the song, and it's the song they play whenever I go on Bill and Wendy's show.
Zorn, Zorn, Zorn.
Oh, there you go.
Oh my God, that is so lame. That's your at bat song.
It's my at bat song because
you are never. Don't ever go to Sox Park. Yeah. I worry for your safety.
My goodness, it's a perfect walk up song. But if I had to do a non one, I do have a sound clip that I recorded of my son playing fiddle with his friends,
right.
Playing a tune called Sweet Nell, and I just think it's like these young people preserving this tradition.
Yeah.
playing in the kitchen, and that's what I would
Yeah,
play,
you really, so. Really, really get the crowd rocking.
Yeah,
Eric Zorn, I love your fiddle.
It's not
It's to fire me up. That, yeah. Isn't that, that's the point of a walk-up song, right? You don't crowd. You don't care about.
I think so.
I think it's about
I think I'm winning for sure.
Well, Scott's going to beat us all because his song is really going to fire up the crowd. Let's hear yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. Well, okay. I thought, what's my favorite piece of music? And it's Miserere Mei Deus, which is a Latin of a 500 or 600-year-old song. When translated from the Latin to English, are pretty much that you are worthless, I am worthless, I'm sorry, God, I'm so worthless, please forgive my worthlessness. It's wonderful. But my second song is because I have a home there, my son and his wife live down there, I have a lot of friends down there, but Sweet Home Alabama.
All right. God, you redeemed yourself. My Lord.
I like the I am so wretched.
I am worthless. I am 0 for 4 with 2 Ks.
If I ever get a hit, it will be a miracle.
So, what's yours, Justin?
Justin.
I would take the new Drake song with the Lauryn Hill sample. I forgot the name of it, but I listened to it like 25 times a day.
Okay.
It's awesome. The greatest song, and it's a
Can
Drake
you hum a few
over.
Bars?
Yeah. Gotta make the jump.
With your phone now snapping like you Fable. And you showing off, but it's all right. And you showing off, but it's all right. It's a short life.
And the mention. It's great. It's a great song, and it's if I played that at the stadium, the place would be going crazy.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, this guy is topical.
Okay.
We will let him ground out the short. He's topical.
We can cut this out, but I have the best walk-up story ever. I was at the Memphis Chicks back in the 1980s. Right. They had an organist who was older than, I think, the country. But every player who came up, every player with a Latino last name, he played La Cucaracha. And there was a guy who was a real great prospect, heavy hitter, big kid, I mean, could hit home runs a mile, and he was from, Juan Luis, and he was from Argentina. He literally goes up to the box, and the organist, bing, 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 bing. He literally stepped out of the box and looked up at the organist and went, really?
What are you doing? was it just a couple days or a week ago that wasn't the Cubs, they played the Go Cubs Go and Bryce Harper came up to bat? Bryce Harper was in Atlanta playing with the Nationals, and he came up to bat. It was probably a month ago now. It's right at the beginning of the season. And the organist played Go Cubs Go because of the thought that he would be a free agent and come to the Cubs next.
Okay. That's clever.
Scott Santis, Eric Zorn, Kristen McQuarrie, Steve Bertrand, Mincing Rascals, Justin Kaufman in for John Williams. He will be back. Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store. You can also listen online at WGNRadio.com. Plus, catch highlights every Saturday from 11 to 11:30 a.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.